Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit, and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
You're all I want, you're all I need, I want to hold you close to me. You're all I want, you're all I need. You're all I want, you're all I need. I wanna hold you close to me. You're all I want, you're all. Your presence is my one desire. 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 Your glory 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 is my one desire. Your power 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 is my one desire. Spirit of the living God, with hands lifted to the heavens, we thank you for your presence in this place. Mighty presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this transformative experience. It's the sound of revival. And we ask, oh God, that you speak to our hearts. I ask, oh God, that you will walk mightily in the midst of your people. Be glorified. For in Jesus' matchless name, we pray. Amen. Good morning, everybody. May God bless you. Please, you may be seated. I'll teach for a few minutes and then administer to the sick. This morning, the morning session and the evening session will all be miracle services. So I just establish a few things. God is in a hurry to turn your situation for good. And in the name of Jesus, he will do you good. You believe that? Shout a loud believing amen. It's been such a strong prophetic atmosphere. You can imagine thousands of people gathered just lifting up worship with one voice. It's a very spiritual activity, and we thank God for this opportunity. For those of you who are connected across the globe, this is the Sound of Revival UK 2026, here live from Liverpool. And this is day two. God is granting us grace and understanding. And for one more time, I want to appreciate all those who have taken their time, our special guests. Thank you for making the time. Let's get to the ministry of the word. We are changed by the word. We are transformed by the word. And miracles only happen to validate the speakings of God. The way God works is first to send forth his word. When the word is sent, then the power of God can back the word of God. The assignment of the power of God is to give validation and to give credence to the speakings of God. And so if the word of God is not sent forth, it becomes very difficult, if not impossible, for the power of God to be fully active in the midst of God's people. We have worshipped, and so I just want to take it from where we left off yesterday, and then somewhere along the line, we'll take a pause and trust that this atmosphere that's already stirred will also translate to miracle signs and wonders. I sense in my spirit that some of you will be dancing back home. In fact, some of you, because of what God will do, you will not even need to go back home. You'll just spend your remaining break until the evening dancing and celebrating. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Then of course by tonight is going to be a time of prayer, prophecy. We're going to be pounding the gates of hell tonight in a way you've never seen before. In the name of Jesus, it'll be praise, it'll be worship, it'll be prophecy, it'll be miracles. We're going to be speaking over the soul of the city, and to God be the glory in Jesus' name. But very quickly, let's take off from where we left off yesterday. We've been discussing a series, Revive Us Again. And for yesterday night, we looked at part one, the architecture of rebellion. Or in simple terms, you may want to say unmasking Satan's agenda. The goal and the intent for the teaching yesterday was to show how Satan weaves himself through a system to bring territorial decline. We considered a few things just by way of summary. Number one, that the word revival is a restorative process. It means to bring back something that was dead. It means to bring back to consciousness or an awakening from a state of dormancy. And we said a person can be revived, an idea can be revived, an organization can be revived, a territory can be revived. We established four thoughts yesterday, and I'll do a quick recap on them. Number one, we said that from a spiritual standpoint, and according to Colossians 1, 12 and 13, there are essentially two kingdoms, spiritual kingdoms that operate upon the earth. Number one is called the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of God's dear son, where Jesus is Lord and King. Number two, the kingdom of darkness, the sponsor of everything evil and everything antichrist. And it has Satan as the head of that kingdom. We called it a counterfeit kingdom. And I told you the word counterfeit means to imitate the truth for the purpose of deception. It's a counterfeit, but a real kingdom. The second thought yesterday was that both the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness are both spiritual kingdoms, meaning you cannot see them visibly. However, they have physical infrastructures that allow for their influence and their manifestation upon the earth. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear son is a spiritual kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness is also a spiritual kingdom. But we feel the influence of both kingdoms through physical infrastructures. And we said these infrastructures are threefold. Number one, men. Number two, belief systems or ideologies. Number three, systems or institutions. These are the three principal channels that allow for the influence of this spiritual kingdom to find expression in the world of men. Thought number three, we said both God and Satan, standing in for the various kingdoms as aforementioned, have very defined programs, very defined agendas for mankind. Satan has a defined, well-structured agenda for mankind. God has a well-defined, structured agenda for mankind. And I did elaborate on that yesterday. I told us that God has a twofold agenda for mankind. Number one is to establish the lordship of the Christ alongside the life that comes with the kingdom, first in the hearts and minds of men, and then number two, to extend the value system of the kingdom across every strata of human activity, producing fruits of righteousness, producing victory, producing dominion, producing godliness. Satan, on the other hand, as we observed, has a fourfold agenda. And agenda number one, if you still remember, we said the first agenda is to stop men from encountering Jesus. His first agenda in order of priority is to stop men, stop territories from encountering Jesus and accessing the transformation. That is Antichrist in nature, Antichrist in context. Number three, Satan's third agenda is to sponsor hostility against those who love Jesus and against any program that is pro-kingdom. Sponsor hostility in any form at all and in any fashion. Finally, we did say Satan's final assignment in the world of men and over men is to stop men, including believers, from accessing light, illumination, understanding, and the grace that is required to live a life of dignity, a life of honor, a life of victory, and a life of dominion. Then we went further to say the fourth and final thought for yesterday, that there is a sequence to the way Satan attacks a territory. That when Satan wants to bring a decline, he wants to quench revival fire, to quench God consciousness within a territory. He does not just happen arbitrarily. There is a sequence. Number one, we said the first port of call is to attack the spiritual voices within that territory. When Satan wants to attack Liverpool, UK, Europe, Africa, America, any nation, any region, any continent for that matter, his first port of call is to attack the spiritual voices that are domiciled within that territory. And that there's a twofold attack on priesthood. Number one, he attacks their character, their walk with God, their consecration, the vitality of their spiritual life. It comes under attack. And then number two, he corrupts the purity of their message. So one attack has to do with the person, the other has to do with the message. And did I tell you that what makes the messenger powerful is the message he carries? It is the message that makes the messenger powerful. So if the message is corrupted or compromised, then it discredits the messenger himself. The Bible says, this is the message that we have received. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So he attacks priesthood. And then his second port of call is that he attacks the church, the body of believers within that territory. Now, it's a very subtle journey, so it doesn't look obvious immediately, but that's how he does it. He attacks believers by causing divisions, and he attacks us by bringing discouragement. We took our time to encourage ourselves yesterday that regardless what we go through as believers, and perhaps maybe currently going through, the believer is mandated to trust God in spite of and in the midst of. Hallelujah. And then finally, we said Satan will attempt to compromise, to corrupt, to influence, and to sell policies and value systems across the institutions within that territory. And when the value systems, the institutions that make up society, come under the influence of the devil, revival dies. Praise the name of the Lord. But the good news is that God is always ahead. Always ahead, even over Europe. Satan will not have the last laugh over the destiny of Europe. Are you believing with a loud amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, so that's in summary. Let's go to part two this morning. Revive us again, part two. And for this morning, very briefly, I intend that we consider reigniting revival fire. Reigniting revival fire. You'll be learning something very powerful and very profound this morning. Reigniting revival fire. Thank you, Jesus. Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great. Awaken supernatural faith. Your glory is tangible in this place. Lord, you're doing something great. Awaken supernatural faith. Yahweh Rapha Elohim Shaddai Jireh Adonai, manifest yourself. Revive us again, part two, reigniting revival fire. I want to show you how God intervenes over a life, a family, and a territory that's lost its fire. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 7 has been our text. Let's read from 4 to 7, then we'll go to 2 Chronicles. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, verse 5, thus said the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Verse 6, for I will set my eye upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Verse 7, it says, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Scripture number 2, popular scripture, but I want us to broaden our scope of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 will begin from verse 13. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 13. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Verse 15, it says, now my eyes shall be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. Reading to 22, verse 16, for now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, verse 18, then will I establish the throne of your kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and commandments which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast you out of my sight, and make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations. 21, and this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? Final verse. And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth by the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. The Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. For this morning, the first point that I want to make as a submission is to summarize yesterday's point, the effect. I wrote something here. When priesthood or the spiritual voices within a territory get compromised, weakened, lack knowledge, or fall below God's standard, and then when the church, the corporate body of believers, fail to shine as light and salt in society, and then when institutions embrace value systems and policies that fight the program of God, God's salvation program suffers greatly. And then revival fire immediately or eventually dies. So there is a spiritual explanation to the death of the move of God, the death of awakenings and revivals within a life, across a family, a region, or a territory. Revivals do not just die. The fire does not just get quenched. There is a sequence of activities. And I'm summarizing them by saying, number one, when the spiritual voices get compromised, when they get weakened, when they lack knowledge, or when they fall below God's standard, and then when the church stops or ceases to shine as salt and as light, and then when Satan penetrates the institutions and hijacks the institutions within a territory, regardless what that territory is, and regardless how civilized, how advanced they are technologically, for sure, revival will die. Hallelujah. But God has a strategy for intervention. God has a strategy for the reformation and the reignition of revival fire. And that's my assignment this morning, to show you what happens. And please, I'd like you to lend me your attention, particularly if you're a minister of the gospel and you know that you are at the cutting edge of God's prophetic program. You would want to listen to this. While it is important to understand Satan's infrastructure of rebellion and how he brings decline within a territory, it's important to know how God intervenes. Praise the name of the Lord. God has a strategy for reigniting revival fire. Now, I did tell us that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom and that it requires physical infrastructures for its manifestation, men, ideologies or belief systems, and then institutions. Now, when revival fire, please listen, when revival fire dies within a territory, when darkness seems to prevail over a territory, when decline and decadence seem to be the order of the day, watch this. God's first restorative response is to find a man or to find a group of uncompromising people. It is impossible to not have a witness in any territory. That was a mistake of Elijah. Elijah thought, because of the decadence of his day, that he were the only one who was still standing. And he went to God and he said, God, I'm the only one. Everyone has compromised, not knowing that there were 7,000 others. There will always be an uncompromising remnant. There will always be a witness within every territory. So when God wants to reignite revival fire, the first thing he does is to find a man or to find a group of men. And if he does find that man, and if he does find those group of people, I'll tell you what he does. He begins to place a dissatisfaction within their spirit. And the spiritual name of that dissatisfaction is called a burden. Please listen. I want to show you how revival fire is reignited. Revival can never return, be reignited in a place if God does not find a man or a group of people willing, yielded, ready to receive the burden. And I want to teach you very powerfully what a burden is. It's a word that is familiar, particularly among the Pentecostal charismatic circles, but we've not taken the time to really understand what a burden is. So I'll tell you what a burden is very quickly. A burden is a spiritual constraint. A burden is a strong feeling of heaviness. A burden talks about weight, not physical weight, unrest. It talks about dissatisfaction in one spirit. This is how revival is reignited. God will find a man or find a group of men, and he will transfer that burden to their spirit. Regardless how fine things look, there will be a sudden dissatisfaction, a strong heaviness, a feeling of unrest. Hallelujah. Now, generally speaking, I'm not sure that that's applicable for our teaching tonight, but just to broaden your knowledge on burdens, there are three kinds of burdens according to scripture. Number one, there are demonic burdens. They are oppressive. The Bible says, it shall come to pass in that day that the burden shall be taken from your neck You know, the yoke shall be taken from your neck and the burden, and shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So there is a burden, that a constraint, an unrest, a dissatisfaction that is demonically engineered. This is oppressive and it's destructive. As we find in Isaiah 10:27. Number two, there are burdens of natural origin. That means your needs, the constraints that come because of your needs, your day-to-day issues, your worries and anxieties. And for an example, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, give it to us. Jesus teaches us how to attend. He says, bear one another's burdens. So we have burdens, human needs, just be there for one another. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, for an example, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request. Let those burdens be known unto God. I think it's, is it 1 Peter 5 now? It says, cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So you cast that burden, that's right, casting your care upon him. So that's how to deal with burdens of a human origin. The Bible says to be there for one another, and it says to cast your care before the Lord. But there are God-sent, God-initiated burdens, and this is what I'm talking about. These are destiny-activating burdens. They are connected to the birthing of your assignment. They are connected to the birthing of God's agenda or God's restorative plan. Now, this is very powerful. This burden that God puts in your heart is the initial invitation for the God-man partnership that restores revival fire within a territory. So don't forget, when God wants to bring his intervention plan over a territory, the first thing he does is to find at least a man or a group of people. You find that, for example, in Genesis chapter 6. We're not going there, but the Bible tells us that when the world grew wicked, you know, and the sons of God met with the daughters of men, they produced giants that were men of renown, and the world was wicked, and God repented. He repented, God, that he made man. The Bible says, but he found Noah. He found Noah, who was a righteous man, and alongside Noah, he found the three sons and their three wives, alongside his wife, and they became the eight that God used to preserve the earth as he judged the earth with a flood. You will always find God seeking for a man. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord, and after all of those experiences, he said, who shall we send, and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Someone shout, send me. Say, I'm available. You didn't say that convincingly. Say, send me. Say, I'm available. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let me tell you what happens afterwards. These burdens come with an intense grace for prayer, and that leads to the rise of prophetic intercessors. The goal, that burden is an initiation process. I want to show you how revival fire is restored. The first ministry that leads the way for the reignition of fire is the prayer ministry, prophetic intercession. But the way it starts is that God will find a man or a people, and he will put a burden within that man, a burden within the people. It's a weight in the spirit that takes them to the place of prayer. As a result of that burden, they begin to engage in consistent prophetic intercessory prayer, and that's the ignition. The Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, not and discuss, not and wish, not and plan, all of this will come later on. But the first port of call, reigniting revival fire in your life, in your family, in your territory, will start with the prophetic intercessory ministry. And this is not a one-off thing. We're not talking of something that just happens one-off. When a burden comes, it goes beyond one day. it goes beyond 1 hour. You can pray for your needs and summarize the prayer, but this is the kind of prayer where you literally do not have a prayer point. Sometimes you don't even know what drives you to the place of prayer, and you begin to engage. One day becomes 1 week. 1 week becomes 1 month. 1 month becomes 1 year, and you are pressing. This is the kind of burden that came upon Anna the prophetess. Look up, please. When there was need for Jesus to arrive in the flesh, I hope you know that Jesus did not just arrive because he was the Son of God. There was a woman who received that burden. And the Bible says for 65 years as a widow, she was at the temple praying every day for the consolation of Israel. When prayer does not ascend to the heavens, then the move of God is limited within a territory. It takes a burden to draw men to the place of prayer. And this leads to the rise of prophetic intercessors. Men and women who will stand in the gap for the land and intercede for God's intervention. In Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, it said, "And I sought for a man." Give it to us. 22 and 30. Can we read it together? One, two, go. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." In our case, God has found an army. If you belong to that army, shout amen. Amen. I sought for a man to stand in the gap and begin to pray. I'll tell you this. Some of you, the dissatisfaction that you've been having, it's not because anything is wrong. It's because God is trusting you with a burden. The burden of the Lord is so, it comes in various ways. It can land upon you and you have no appetite to be around people again. Sometimes you cannot even explain what is happening to you. You want to isolate. It's not depression. I'm not talking of depression. Depression needs deliverance. Are we together? The burden of the Lord can come upon a man, and you wake up every night, every other day, every other time, you find yourself praying, such compassion wells up in your spirit, and you begin to pray, and one of the ways you know that it's a burden is because it will be easy to find like-minded believers. You sell the idea and without difficulty they receive it, and you begin to build momentum as you pray. Let me encourage particularly those of you who have submitted to the ministry of prayer. It may not look like something is happening, but I want you to not stop. Don't stop, because it is part of the build up for revival. There is no time in history, whether in the Bible or modern history, where the move of God came without a period of prayer and intercession. Prophetic prayer. I believe that one of the graces that will fall in this place today and tonight is the grace for intercession. God will need to raise watchmen, prophetic intercessors, men who know how to stand and hold on to the horns of the altar. Are we together now? To pray the program of God to be. You see, sometimes we wish for spiritual things to happen, but wishing does not make it happen. The Bible says when you pray that his kingdom will come and that his will be done. We can discuss it, we can sing it, but we must pray it. Hallelujah. We must pray it. The rise of prophetic intercessors responding to the burden of the Spirit. That burden is the seed for the reignition of revival fire. But it rests upon prophetic intercessors. I'll tell you the next thing that happens. The moment people begin to pray, they activate the ministry of angels. In the Bible, every time we talk about the harvest, there are two personalities that are called reapers or laborers. Number one, men. Number two, angels. The moment prayer begins to go forth from a territory, I'm not just talking of need-driven prayer. As wonderful as that is, Lord, give me tea, give me bread, that's wonderful. But this is beyond the realm of your personal need. You have received the burden of the Spirit, and you literally have stood in as a watchman. It says, "I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the tower." Now you are praying, you are interceding. It's like a woman who has received seed and she's standing in that place of birthing, interceding for the move of God can take weeks, can take months, can take years, can take decades. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that from Liverpool and in UK, there will be men and women, there will be groups that will rise by the Spirit, that will be prophetic intercessors. They will pray every day. They will pray every other time. I pray that every church, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the house of God is called a house of prayer for all nations, not the house of God for the needs of the members. It says, my house, if it is my house, it must be called a house of prayer for all nations. If it is not a house of prayer for all nations, the alternative is that it will become a den of thieves, and the principal thief being Satan himself. So it is either that the church is a house of prayer for all nations or a den of thieves. A house of prayer for all nations. The churches in Liverpool, the churches in UK, the churches across Europe. Let me pause for a moment and encourage you. It's wonderful to have, you know, great doctrinal understanding, but never compromise on the pattern of the growth of believers. It's always prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. It's always prayer. That's the apostolic model that was left for us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To prayer and to the ministry of the word. When Paul and Silas were bound and kept in prison, the Bible says they prayed at midnight. They prayed. Jesus himself prayed. Luke 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says to pray without ceasing. Mark 11:24, whatsoever things ye desire, when ye pray. James 5:13, is any man afflicted, let him pray. Say, I receive grace to pray. Shout it like you believe. Say, I receive grace to pray. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, an attack on your prayer life is an attack on your spiritual efficiency. An attack on the prayer altar is an attack on the prophetic destiny of any territory. Prayer is such a threat to the kingdom of darkness that a parliament came together to put a law that for just 30 days... Theologians believe, and you know it's been purported in many, many circles, that 30 days of no prayer can wreak territorial havoc. 30 days. If my people, which are called by my name, regardless the level of decadence, if they will humble themselves and they will pray. Somebody say, I will pray. For the sake of your loved ones, say, I will pray. For the sake of the program of God in your region, say, I will pray. For the sake of your life, your destiny, and your assignment, say, I will pray. For the sake of the grace of God upon your life, say, I will pray. For the sake of those connected to your destiny, say, I will pray. In the name of Jesus, I will pray. When it works fine, I will pray. If it doesn't work fine, I will pray. When I have testimonies, I will pray. Even when I cry, I will pray. When I wake up in the morning, I will pray. It's a default template. No limit, no boundaries. I will pray. Prayer is not just for prayer warriors. Prayer is not just for intercessors. Are we together? Prayer is for all men. He spake a parable that men ought always to pray. Every family must have a prayer altar. Every business must have a prayer altar. And don't you tell me I'm being fanatical. I can assure you, if you compromise on the spirituality of things, you will not last. Now, you know, we have this narrative that there are many people who succeed in life and they pay less attention to their spiritual lives. It's your ignorance if you say that, with all due respect. There is no level of excellence that crosses a certain threshold in life that does not have a spiritual root. You may not be aware of the root, but it is there.
I don't know about you, but I will pray. I will pray for Koinonia. I'll pray for myself. I'll pray for the program of God in the name of Jesus Christ. I won't fold my arms and allow the devil come and wreak havoc over my life. I take responsibility and hold on to the wheels of my destiny. Shout, I will pray. Now, I have an assignment to pray for you. As men of God, we will continually pray for you. But the better part is to train you so that you become a warrior yourself. Shout again, I will pray. I will pray. As intelligent as you are, pray. As gifted as you are, pray. When men pray, they release the power of God. When men pray, they activate the ministry of angels. When men pray, the Holy Ghost begins to move, birthing the program of God. Revival is reignited when God finds men and women who can receive his burden and take that burden to the place of prayer and begin to transact in the place of prayer. Days becoming weeks, weeks becoming months, months becoming years, and they stay and they remain and they press and they push. Elijah was one man who taught us the patterns of restoring anything spiritual. The Bible says he was a man of like passion. James was giving us a case study on Elijah. It says the fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he uses Elijah. He said Elijah was a man of like passion. However, to shut up the heavens over the land, the Bible says he prayed that there be no rain for a space of 3 years and about 6 months thereabout. And when it was now time to restore the rain, what did he do? He prayed. The Bible says when he went to pray, he assumed a birthing position. He prayed once and asked his servant, go and check. And there was nothing, no physical evidence. He went back to pray. He went back to pray. Praying and praying again is not unbelief. Praying and praying again is proof of faith. When you pray and stay there, is proof that you believe God. But I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Receive grace to pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for you every attack on your prayer life. Some of you, for the last 1 year, in all honesty, your prayer life, perhaps even preachers, your prayer life has gone down. Your zeal for the things of God, I pray by the power of the Holy Ghost, let fresh fire rest upon your prayer altar. Fresh fire 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 upon your prayer altar. Jesus prayed. I release fresh fire upon your prayer altar. The apostles prayed. I pray fresh fire upon your prayer altar. Businessmen, fresh fire upon your prayer altar. Churches, fresh fire upon your prayer altar. Hallelujah. When there is no prayer, there cannot be revival. Prayer answers to the need for revival. Now, what happens when people begin to pray? The first thing that happens when people begin to pray, and you know there are all kinds of prayers. Let me refer you to my teaching series, Let Us Pray. It's a three-part series, very powerful. Let us pray. You can go to Koinonia Global and then listen to it. Let us pray. It's a three-part series. Hallelujah. So when you commit yourself to prayer, I'll tell you what begins to happen within that territory. Number one, encounters. People will start having radical encounters. Encounters of the God kind. When encounters cease within a territory, it's because intercession has not been invested in the spirit. When the cloud of any territory becomes thick through the prayers of the saints, not need-driven prayer, intercessory prayers, prophetic intercession, encounters begin to happen. Number two, all kinds of soul-winning activities begin to happen. I believe with all my heart that sound of revival coming to Liverpool, perhaps could it be that it's been an answer to the prayer of intercessors of many years, of yesteryears, of yester months. perhaps someone praying and saying, Lord, let your fire rest. Every time men begin to pray and intercede over the program of God, you know what he does? He raises or sends apostolic emissaries in honor to that prayer to help lock hands with those who are praying and begin to engender soul winning activities, spiritual growth activities, like conferences, evangelical campaigns. It doesn't just happen. Did you not read in your Bible that there was a Macedonian call? The apostle did not just want to go to the house of Cornelius. He was told to go to the house of Cornelius. That's where the salvation of the Gentiles started. Peter was hungry and he was at the upper room. And then he had a vision, and in a trance, you know, a curtain came down on all kinds of unclean animals. And he was told, kill and eat. He said, no, I can't do this. I'm a Jew. And he said, do not call unclean what I've called clean. And he sent some messengers. God sent them. And they went. He said, come down, meet those people. Go to the house of Cornelius. And when he arrived at the house of Cornelius, he found certain Gentiles who were there. And the Bible tells us that he began to speak to them. And while Peter yet spake these things, he said, the Holy Ghost fell on all they that heard him. And they who were of the circumcision were surprised that upon the Gentiles this has happened too. And they said, truly God is no respecter of persons. Response to prayer. When we begin to pray, encounters begin to happen. The Saul to Paul encounter, it will only happen when men pray. Are we together now? Let me tell you, I sense in my spirit that one of these days, upon the streets of UK, across Europe, you will find people who just leave their homes, and while going, they will have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. Some of them of non-Christian origins, I tell you the truth. People will be in their rooms and suddenly the Lord Jesus will appear unto them. I believe that. Response to prayer. He appeared to Paul. Now, encounters don't necessarily have to be visionary, but they can be supernatural. You don't have to see a vision, but a strong conviction can be imprinted upon your spirit, birthing the Lordship of Christ in your life. We need encounters. I'll tell you this. Advocating Jesus to a stubborn generation, with all due respect, there is a generation that is unapologetic about their rejecting Jesus. They need beyond discussions. They need encounters. Most of our children will not come to Jesus because you are inviting them as a parent to come to church. Asking your child to come to church is not enough to bring him there. Are we together? What you need to do is to pray for encounters. Lord, give my child an encounter. And your son walks to you and says, look, I don't know why, but I love Jesus. A fire has come upon my spirit. And you say, that's right. That's it right there. In the name of Jesus, the kind of encounter that will bring prodigal sons and daughters back home, we release that grace right now. We release that grace. For some of you, your children, perhaps wayward children, some of you, perhaps your spouse, some of you, perhaps your superiors, your family members, all those who are lost, I assure you they will not go to hell. You are standing as a watchman. You are standing as a prophetic intercessor. God has given you the burden for their salvation. Don't waste the burden. Turn the burden to prayer. Turn the burden to salvation prayer. But I know that this shall turn for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Encounters. And then all kinds of apostolic activities begin to happen. Soul winning campaigns. Did you know why T.L. Osborne had such an affinity for Kenya and India? Why not other regions? Listen, men of God don't choose where to go. They are directed, and it is the prayer of the saints that draw the people there. You can draw an anointing to your region through your consistency of prayer. Lord, we may not have the anointing to help ourselves, but we have the altar that can provoke that anointing. Someone shout, I will pray. Again, say, I will pray. Yes, sir. I don't know where the helper of my destiny is, but I can pray, and prayer can draw him to my life. I do. This applies to your life, not just a kingdom. It applies to your life. When you pray, you draw possibilities to your life. When you pray, you magnetize heavenly activities to your life. It is true.
I will pray.
Encounters begin to break out across schools, churches, homes, the street, unusual places. I wish I had the time to tell you how God started with us. This is how it started. It started with a burden. The burden led us to pray. We didn't know what we were doing, but we were praying. And in the midst of that prayer, people began to catch fire. Fire started falling one by one, by one, by one, by one. And then God began to grant us access. And that's a very important, I'm about to show you something that is very powerful right now. Listen, the encounters are only the ignition. If it stops there, Satan will hijack it and corrupt that move. I'll tell you this, by the message of God, I'm a student of revival. I have studied the moves of God across many continents. Did you know why the move did not last? Because the ignition came, but they did not know what to do with the ignition. They thought the ignition was all there was to it. And Satan hijacked the move and corrupted it. Now let me tell you what happens. Once encounters begin to happen and soul winning activities, strong evangelistic soul winning activities begin to happen, please hear me. The next port of call is the emergence of the teaching ministry. This right here is the preserver of the move of God. The teaching ministry, as an expression of the apostolic ministry, is how the move of God is preserved. I don't care how spectacular the ignition is. If the teaching ministry does not come to bridge what God is doing, the move will not last. So we have, with all due respect, healing evangelists, and they did their work. The encounters came. Soul winning activities came. But souls were getting saved and they did not know what to do with the souls that were saved. Lives were getting transformed and they did not know how to manage the situation. I want to show you the missing link right now, so that as the move of God is restored, we will not lose it. The ignition is powerful. Prayer is powerful, but it does not stop there. Please pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know. And we will never settle for less. We know. Now listen to what I wrote here. A strong, vibrant, and consistent prayer investment over any territory begins to stir up divine encounters. It brings brokenness and repentance, and it ushers the evangelistic and the apostolic to begin to carry out their ministry within that territory. Crusades, soul-winning activities are a direct response to the prayer of the saints. Watch this. The same prayer ministry releases the spirit of wisdom and revelation upon men and women to understand the scripture and the ways of God. This will give rise to teaching priests. The same prayer ministry that brings in evangelistic activities is the same prayer ministry that grants access to the spirit of wisdom to begin to walk on the minds of people. And you find out that with the move of God and with the strength of prayer will come an unusual comprehension of the mysteries of the kingdom. It's impossible to invest in prayer with honor to the word and not have the spirit of revelation come upon you. People will begin to understand the ways of God. Among the people praying, God will begin to handpick a few apostolic emissaries and he will grant them an unusual insight so that they now begin to train, build, transform, and refine the army that God needs to work with. Please listen very carefully. A major part of the enlightenment, the transformation, the reformation, and the empowerment of the saints depend on the teaching ministry. I cannot emphasize this enough. I used to think that the move of God only died because of the weariness of men, fatigue. But that was my level of knowledge then. As I've grown in the things of God, I found out that beyond the fatigue of men, it is the absence of the teaching ministry. The teaching ministry did not bridge the gap. They did not preserve the move of God. So moves were celebrated, but could not be sustained. Could not be sustained. God moving, gifts manifesting. And then you find out after 1 year, those who manifested those gifts, with all due respect, are locked up in all kinds of scandals and all kinds of things because the teaching ministry did not refine and transform them. It's the mercy of God that brings people into certain experiences, but the teaching ministry brings you into a level of dexterity and mastery. You sustain things by understanding. There is a dimension of strength that is not an impartation. It's a product of knowledge. It's a product of submitting yourself methodically to the teaching ministry. It's true. It's true. So say for an example, a move of God is happening in Liverpool, and now you have this crowd of people experiencing it, and the papers are carrying out the news that the move of God is everywhere. I can tell you that most moves, what we call revival, and I don't say this to demean the program of God, most of what we call revival right now is just an ignition. It's not yet a revival. We celebrate the ignition and we leave the substance. Oh, someone who was some unbeliever, notable unbeliever, suddenly got born again, and we baptize people wonderfully, and we do a lot of things, and then we stop there, and we say, wow, a revival is happening. And after 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 year, the people who once celebrated the revival would have gone back because the teaching ministry did not come. A major assignment of the apostolic is spiritual governance, and that demands teaching. People must be trained methodically. They must know the ways of God. You do not get matured by impartation. You get matured by submitting methodically to the teaching ministry, line upon line, precept upon precept. You are taught the ways of God. Then you become strong, robust, enlarged in your spirit. It's true. It's true. So the ignition comes by prayer. The burden of the spirit responds to that prayer. And God drives people. And encounters begin to happen. Angelic activities, brokenness, repentance, leading to salvation. But the moment people begin to be saved, Satan is interested in that product. He can hijack that move if the people who are spearheading the move are not trained themselves. Listen, I wish I had the time, I would have shown you this in Acts chapter 8. The Bible tells us that Philip, I hope you know Philip was an evangelist. I'm sure probably the Bible does not tell us, but I believe it may have been in response to prayer that Philip went down to Samaria. Are we Bible students? The Bible says there he preached Christ, and the people gave heed with one accord, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. You would think that were the move. No, it was the ignition. The Bible says demons were crying out and there was great joy. Give it to us. Verse 8. There was great joy in the city, but it did not stop there. Philip knew that if I stopped there, I would have wasted the fact that the city is rejoicing does not mean revival has come. No. Go back to verse 10 now, where he sent for Peter and John. The Bible says he sent, search for it for us. In spite of the fact that he had worked miracles, the Bible says he knew that leaving the people that way will abort that move. So he sent for Peter and John. There were certain things Philip could not see, like the man who was under the spirit of divination. He thought the man was already repentant because he was attending the meeting. It was when John and Peter and John came. The Bible says when the apostles which were in Jerusalem, listen, let's go back to 14. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem, watch this, when they heard that Samaria had received the word of the Lord, they sent unto them Peter and John. Why did they now come? The Bible says, verse 15, who when they were come, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And then they began to teach them. They began to mentor them. Everywhere you saw the move of God, the apostolic ministry, you see that now, expressing as a teaching ministry, came there to bridge what was happening and to bring sustainability to it. You find this again in Acts chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus and he found certain disciples. Already something was happening there. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not even heard if there be any Holy Ghost. He was surprised. He said, unto what baptism then were you baptized? They said, the baptism of John. He took out time to explain to them, and he got them filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know why Paul wrote the book of Acts? 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. It was at a point where there was a mighty move of God, but there was disorderliness. It was Paul who arranged the gift of the Spirit, charismata, and taught us that this means this, to the end that things be done decently and in order. They saw the ignition, but the ignition was going to bring chaos. Prophets were prophesying without guidance. People were taking of the communion and they were getting drunk. All kinds of activities of lasciviousness was happening. At the same time, a move was happening. When Paul arrived there, he said, this is a move, but it cannot stop that way. So all of you sit down. And he began a conference. That conference was captured in chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. There is a great need for an emergence of the teaching ministry. The teaching ministry. Let me recap something that I said yesterday. There are three errors that proceed from the teaching ministry, and it sustains the power to abort, corrupt, or completely destroy the move of God. Error number one, if you recall yesterday, is the error of falsehood or apostasy, a deviation from the truth. As revealed in scripture, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith and shall give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of demons. Apostasy, a deviation from the faith, total falsehood, inconsistent with the word of God. Error number two is a corruption of the truth. So an accurate spiritual principle, but the approach and the application of it is where preachers get it wrong. There are many things that are taught on our pulpits, with all due respect, the principle itself is biblical, but the way it is taught is dangerous. with all due respect, there is a way fatherhood and sonship is a godly principle, but there is a way it can be taught that leads to slavery and destruction. There is a way giving and finances, these are kingdom principles, but they can be taught in a way that produces slaves. Are you seeing that? The grace of God is an accurate kingdom principle. It's a doctrine, a foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. But there is a way it can be taught that it becomes a license for lasciviousness. The second error that proceeds from the teaching ministry. The third error that proceeds from the teaching ministry is imbalance, an exaggeration, not keeping truth within the boundary of their relevance. There is a way you can teach about prayer that makes it look like no other force in the kingdom is relevant. There is a way you can teach about the ministry of the word, even though to show its supremacy, that can make you downplay other keys of the kingdom. There is a way you can teach about the mind, the latent power of the human mind, that almost becomes occultic. It is line upon line. Here a little, there a little. Is someone learning now? The exaggerations and the imbalances is what has produced the lopsidedness in the quality, the texture of the spiritual products that have come from the church. So you find a people who are prayerful, but they know nothing about scripture. So any spirit can use their yieldedness and speak through them. They say yes, Lord, to any spirit because there is no doctrinal foundation to guide their prayer. Prayer helps them to get into the realm of the spirit, but because they do not have the balance that comes with doctrine, they say yes to the Holy Spirit and they say yes to demon spirits. And there are those who know the word and later become legalistic. They become scribes and Pharisees because the spirit component is not there. There are those who believe in the strength of the flesh. They believe in productivity, but they care less about prayer. So the assignment of the apostolic ministry is to bring all of these mysteries together and to combine them with such wisdom, such that you produce a balanced, refined, reformed, empowered believer. This is the kind of army God is looking for. Balanced, refined, reformed, empowered, vibrant, knowledgeable, intelligent. Hallelujah. There were many moves of God that happened in history where the frontiers of those moves stopped people from participating in matters that had to do with state and society. It was their definition of consecration to alienate themselves from matters of government and state and society. And one policy was passed and it killed that move. Because the teaching ministry did not mentor them to understand the full scope of kingdom come. Is someone learning now? Please lift your voice again and pray in the spirit. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, your name is to be hallowed. Listen to what I wrote here. The rise of accurate, effective, and balanced teaching ministries will lead to the rise of strong, revived, vibrant, enlightened, and transformed believers who can now shine as light and salt and become change agents in society. So here's how it works. Men pray, or God releases a burden. Men receive that burden. They pray. When they pray, encounters begin to happen. Soul winning activities begin to happen. Then the apostolic ministry receives that and begins to mature the saints. And as they build the saints, you know what happens? They begin to cultivate in the saints the mentality of an apostolic Christian. I think I said it during a time last year or so about the difference between a nominal Christian and an apostolic Christian. A nominal Christian cares less about God's program. He's just there existing, hoping that ends meet. That's a nominal Christian, even though in Christ. An apostolic Christian has many definitions. among them one who loves God sincerely and one who has been trained to understand the God-man partnership. That kingdom come, the advancement of God's program depends on God and men. God and men. Not God alone, not men alone. God and men. And they are ready to assume that responsibility, to be trained, to be guided, to be mentored, and then to be empowered by the Spirit to serve the purposes of the kingdom. We're tired of nominal Christians. This is a cry for an emergence of apostolic Christians. Men and women who love God beyond their personal comfort. Men and women who love God beyond their personal needs. Your needs are important, very important. But greater than that is the advancement of God's program. Because when His kingdom comes, you will not need to ask, give us our daily bread. The fact that you are asking, give us our daily bread, is because there is a bigger deficiency, the absence of the kingdom. They don't pray, give us our daily bread in heaven, because the kingdom is there. Hallelujah. The teaching ministry. Let me charge every man and every woman of God that has been given the commission of priesthood. We must take the business of raising, mentoring, empowering God's people very seriously. It's been a burden in my heart for years to challenge the teaching ministry that the quality of believers within any territory depends on the level of maturity and understanding of the preacher. Only revived men can revive territories. Only transformed men can transform territories. Please write that down. Only revived men can revive territories. Only transformed men can transform territories. Only revived men can revive territories. And only transformed men can transform territories. For as long as prophetic intercessors keep the prayer fire burning, for as long as soul winning activities never cease, for as long as the ministers of the gospel keep building, refining, empowering believers, for as long as the king priest dominion strategy is practiced, where believers are involved in matters of the altar and also matters of state, revival will never die. Let me say that again, authoritatively. For as long as prophetic intercessors keep the prayer fire burning, for as long as soul-winning activities never cease, for as long as ministers of the gospel keep building, refining, empowering, vibrant, transformed, and apostolic Christians, and for as long as the king-priest dominion strategy is practiced, where believers are involved in matters of the altar, their spiritual lives, and also matters of state, I assure you, revival will never die. For many years, I searched for the secret of sustaining the fire of revival. I felt very pained every time I read books, and it would be that a move of God lasted and then it died. But every time I read my Bible, it said the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. There's been moves of God, pockets of moves of God, and then everything just died. And I wanted to piece together by the Spirit the real ingredients that sustain the fire. And in my journey with the Holy Ghost and my journey in Scripture, and also studying the life of men and women that were used mightily by God, I found a combination. For as long as the prophetic intercessory ministry keep the prayer fire over that territory burning, for as long as evangelistic soul-winning activities never die within a territory, for as long as the ministers of the gospel do their job in truly discipling and raising, mentoring, and building a vibrant, transformed community of apostolic Christians, and then for as long as believers are taught the king priest dominion strategy where they do not alienate themselves from matters of state. How many of you know that if believers are represented in strategic institutions within society, the program of God is preserved? Not from a fanatical standpoint. You check around the major businesses within the UK, with all due respect, how many of those who are gatekeepers within the business sector who are Christians? Let's look at education for an example. Let's look at the economy. Let's look at politics and governance. For a very long time, Christians were subliminally programmed to alienate themselves from matters of governance, matters of politics. Now, I confess to you that politics, for an example, is a very delicate area. Make sure you are discipled before you go there, because you will meet all kinds of beasts of SSS when you get there. So be sure that you are discipled. So let me give that disclaimer. But we cannot run away and be praying in our rooms and be falling under the anointing in churches, whereas they are passing policies that are antichrist. There needs to be an apostolic generation of believers who are vibrant on one hand, but policy makers on the other hand. Is someone learning now? It is true. Imagine the president of a nation being a prophet, a genuine, authentic prophet that sees. Do you know what will happen to that economy? Listen. One day of a man suggesting a leadership economic solution by the Spirit saved a nation 7 years of famine. One day, a man called Joseph. Is that in your Bible? Joseph did not get to the palace to prophesy, but he took advantage of a healthy altar and manifested that king-priest dominion strategy. He went to Pharaoh and said, "Pharaoh, what you saw is not about cows. It's a revelation from God." Only God knows how many presidents had dreams that no man was there to interpret. Those dreams were the salvation of the economies. How about the man Daniel? The king had a dream and forgot the dream. It was Satan that withdrew that dream because there was a mystery in that dream. And the king was going to kill everyone. And a man of a healthy altar who knew how to translate the health of his altar to the marketplace, he said, "King, don't be hasty. Give me time." And he went back and began to pray. And the Bible says, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel. I prophesy over someone, as you submit yourself to build a healthy altar, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Ghost, God will show you great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. Great and mighty strategies. Business strategies. Ministerial strategies. In Jesus' name we pray. Listen. He said, "Call unto me and I will answer. I will show you." Look at this. Do you know that if you lack kingdom influence, it doesn't matter what you see, it cannot be executed. It is a waste for God to grant you national visions when you don't have the influence to execute it. That's why nobody could have, there are certain dreams you cannot have until you have access to the palace. It's a waste. So all of us who say, "I'm a prophet, I'm an apostle," thank God for that, but it should not end up in the pulpit. Trust God for influence so that your prophetic can work in palaces. You can see things before they happen. Is someone learning now? Listen to my message, Redefining the Coming Revival. I teach there that the coming revival will not just be falling under the anointing in churches. The church is a spiritual school of infantry. It's raising the army. But the real execution is outside of the church. It says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. The light of the world. The salt of the earth. That I should be able to speak with a president and he comes to me and says, "Apostle, I want you to pray for me." And I don't just pray an ignorant believer's prayer. "Father, bless this man. This is a nation. I have the opportunity to give counsel in 5 minutes and it can shift the economy of the nation." Now, influence plus the gift of the Spirit, it produces potent results. For an example, he's a mayor, came in all the way from Atlanta. Now you imagine, he is a policy maker with the anointing, with the prophetic. What do you think happens to the people there? So listen, when we call for prayer meetings, politicians show up. You need it more than church members. Businessmen show up. You need it more than church members. Imagine doctors who are prophetic. As a consultant, the gift of the Spirit working in you. You look at a patient, and when the machines are saying some things, you know that this is an attack, and you lock your door and say, I'm not just carrying a lab coat. I am also an apostle of the Lord Jesus. Come on now. This is no entertainment. This is God's expectation. Listen, how many of you know that the kingdom needs a lot of resources to drive God's program? And there are some of you who need to access the wealth of the kingdom. Listen, there is a dimension of wealth that goes beyond buying and selling. It is revealed to men as a trust. And I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches I will give you. You can't find it. I give it to you. I'm the one who buried it. I can only take you there. There is a path which no fowl has seen. The whelps of the lion has not gotten there. Do you believe what you're hearing? I sense in my spirit that there will be an emergence of king priests. King priests. Listen to what I'm saying. King priest. Pastors, the altar is just one of the many platforms God has in store for you. Maximize it. Don't die on the pulpit. There are many, many platforms for execution. God has made you a father over territories. In the name of Jesus. Kings in Bible days called prophets and men of God their father. Not in an abusive way, but they trusted the counsel of God upon their lives. No wonder those kingdoms were dexterous and powerful. They had their root in the realm of the spirit. Today, the church and particularly priesthood is seen as a nuisance. With all due respect, when we stand before politicians, most of what we want is the money or whatever. It's an insult to priesthood. There needs to be a restoration. God is restoring the dignity of priesthood. That when we say, thus saith the Lord, nations listen. Because they know their economies depend on it. That's why I sang the song, your name is to be hallowed across Liverpool, across the nations of the earth. The teaching ministry, the teaching ministry. Hear me, sound of revival. Honestly, I say this sincerely. Blessed are your ears for what you are hearing. Blessed are your ears. There is a way you can't think again. This thing is programming you. You will be so effective. You walk out of this place and you will see your life. You will walk in the experience of dominion. Because you understand. You understand. You know the value of influence. You know the value of the anointing. You see that now. There needs to be an emergence of prophetic intercessors. There needs to be an emergence of evangelists. Soul winners. There needs to be an emergence of teachers, men and women who will be trusted with the hearts, the minds of people, and they will transfer such level of superior understanding. Do you know, understanding is a miracle, my brothers and my sisters, that when you find a man who has been well mentored, oh no, that's a sight to behold. Line upon line, you are taught the ways of God. Taught the ways of faith. Taught the ways of wisdom. You dare life with audacity that may look like pride. But it's not pride. It's the abundance of the confidence that comes from your knowing that it will work. I have a passion. And after New York last year, it's always been a mandate, but after New York last year, the Lord spoke to me. And said, because you have been faithful, I will grant you the grace to disciple nations. I consider that a noble honor. Disciple nations, where God grants you access to the ears and the minds of a generation, you have the unique opportunity to program a generation onto victory. He's given you access. They trust your voice. Now it's up to you to fan your secret place to flames, so that when you speak as an oracle of God. Alanta sabrakete beleko parada. Ratu sabalana ko parahosiada. Kranike beleko paratusiadaba. Kranike beleka subradidara. Kelebereto kasabradigeta. Shama bakabalada bakada. Kerata barata braskana badaka tabrasiada. Raparato sabradagada. New wine. New wine. New wine, new wine, rising from your life. New wine, new wine. There is an emergence of an apostolic generation. An apostolic generation. An apostolic generation. Passionately loved Jesus. Trained, refined, reformed, mentored, taught the ways of God. Can you begin to pray the Holy Ghost? Vibrant, transformed, refined, balanced, empowered, knowledgeable, filled with wisdom, filled with faith, filled with power. Someone go ahead and pray. This is the generation that seeks your face, O Jacob. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I have learned that a true apostolic Christian cannot separate himself from matters of society. No, sir. No, sir. It's an anomaly. It's poor training. It's poor mentorship. The definition of darkness is any society without us. Any society without us is dark. It is not the presence of sunlight, it's the presence of the saints. But not every kind of believer. Oh, there are vessels that are unto honor, and there are vessels that are unto dishonor. So God creates an apostolic convergence to file you, to train you. Let me repeat myself for one last time. For as long as there are prophetic intercessors in Liverpool, in UK, in Europe, carrying that prayer fire non-stop, every day, every other day, for as long as there are men and women of God who love Jesus and are training believers in the ways of God, for as long as evangelistic activities, soul winning activities never stop, and then the mentoring of believers And the mentoring of believers depends on the accuracy of the understanding of ministers. Listen, let me say this as we prepare to pray. There are four elements that make up an effective teaching ministry. Number one, doctrine. An effective teaching ministry must sustain the spiritual intelligence and the wherewithal to communicate doctrine. It's the Greek word didaskalia. The Hebrew is doctrina. A set, a body of knowledge that transforms a student to match the status of his teacher. Doctrine. Number two, the second element of an effective teaching ministry are the principles of the kingdom. The modus operandi of the kingdom. Believers must be taught how to function in the kingdom. Matthew 13:11, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Number three, the third element of an effective teaching ministry is wisdom for living. Believers must be taught wisdom to know how to walk as sheep in the midst of wolves. That's not a kingdom principle. That's not a doctrine. It's wisdom for living. This gives you the grace to be able to walk through the cosmos and to make impact without being compromised. The Bible calls it the wisdom of the just. There is a level of wisdom we need to be able to operate within the cosmos. And let me tell you this, many church people fail in state matters, marketplace, and whatever it is, because they are trained to understand the ordinances of the altar, to understand doctrine, but they do not have the wisdom to excel in the cosmos. Learning the law of honor is part of the wisdom of the just. You can be a righteous person and dishonor an hedonistic boss, and you remain stunted and you don't get promoted. You see that now, because you lack the wisdom to excel within the cosmos. The Bible says, for an example, to honor all men. Then it says, honor the king. The final element of an effective teaching ministry is that you must give the people a word-compliant worldview. Worldview means the way you interpret and assess the happenings in society. It must come from the lens of scripture. Call an average believer, with all due respect, even call a man of God and ask the man, talk to him on matters of state, matters of government, and you will be disappointed at the understanding of genuine anointed men and women of God. They do not have an accurate worldview. This is the reason why God cannot trust us, men of God, with certain quality of people as members. Because we have no message for them. Our worldview is small, perverted, inefficient. Let me repeat myself again. If God has called you into any form of spiritual leadership, to teach, to mentor, to train people, these are the four areas of an effective teaching ministry. Number one, doctrine. That's the foundation of the teaching ministry. Number two, the principles or the mysteries of the kingdom. Number three, wisdom for living. Teaching people how to save their money so that they don't get into penury is not a doctrine, but is wisdom for living. Are we together? Teaching people to be frugal is not necessarily a doctrine, it's wisdom for living. And then helping believers to have an intelligent worldview. There are many believers, Pastor Nat, who cannot sit down in a board meeting, sit down and have a secular interview and articulate intelligent matters of society from the lens of scripture. They are not able to. They will cause trouble for the church and misrepresent God through those interviews. And yet they are genuine, they are authentic. The angel said, come, and I will show you the Lamb's wife. And he showed me a city that was equal in length, in breadth, and in depth. No exaggeration, accuracy. That is the Lamb's wife. This is what God is producing. Balance. Are we together? One time I heard they called Billy Graham and they wanted to just put him in a tight corner. And they called Billy Graham and they made a statement, you know, it was supposed to be a sarcastic statement. And if I recall well, he made a statement. He said, well, it's not for me to judge. My assignment is to preach Christ sincerely. And the Holy Spirit does the conviction. And he just walked his way around. And the TV people were trying to trap him down, to discredit him. Many believers will be all fanatical. They will copy their pastor on stage and misrepresent God. And go back feeling happy. And a small group of people will clap for them. Whereas the larger program of God will suffer because of their lack of training. But God is upgrading his body. In the name of Jesus. From India to Kenya to Nigeria. Mention the name of your city. Mention the name of your nation. Jamaica. Come on now. The fire is burning. That's authentic revival. It doesn't just stop with praying in tongues. We import wisdom. We import the value system of the kingdom. It stands from our altar, but it does not stop there. We penetrate systems and structures until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. I leave the intercessory prayer for evening. We'll just pray one prayer and then I'll minister and then we'll leave. Please lift your flags representing your nations. By the way, if you are coming this evening, if you can hold 10 flags, hold it. Because we are going to wave some flags. And this, we are waving prophetically, especially in the evening. A lot of prophetic things will happen this evening. But for now, you have the flag of any nation, lift it. We are praying as a prophetic point of contact. Father, let revival fire. Genuine revival, sustainable revival be reignited. Revival that starts with prayer and ends with dominion. Revival that starts with prayer and ends with dominion. It doesn't start with prayer and ends with prayer. It starts with prayer. Then wisdom comes in. Then influence comes in. Then dominion comes in. The end point of revival is dominion. That the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. Within it is salvation. Within it is territorial advancement. Within it is economic progress. Lift your flag and lift your voice. Begin to pray in the spirit. Oh, I see those flags. I see Kenya. I see UK. I see Uganda. Lift the flags. Our nation, the nations will call upon the God of heaven. Here comes a generation that will serve the purposes of the kingdom. Trained, refined, anointed, balanced. We announce a sound of revival. A sound of revival. The emergence of an apostolic generation. King, priest. King, priest. King, priest. Man of the altar. A man of dominion. Man of the altar. A man of dominion. I want to pray for you. There are many of you who are called into the ministry of prophetic intercessors. The fire is about to fall upon your life. Many of you will not be able to stop praying after this impartation. It will drive you to the secret place. You will pray. You will start prayer movements. You will start prayer groups. And the Lord will grant you grace. He will grant you visibility. In the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands. At the blast of the trumpet, I decree and declare, men and women from Liverpool, UK, across Europe, let the fire of an intercessor, let the fire of an intercessor, let it fall upon you now. The fire of an intercessor. The fire of an intercessor. Fresh fire upon your prayer life. Fresh fire upon your prayer life. Upon your prayer altar. Grace to pray. Grace to pray. Grace to travail. Grace to intercede. Number two, the business of soul winning is for everyone. But there are men and women who need to be anointed right now to truly be fishers of men. A burden for souls, a burden for souls, winning souls online. Rather than gossiping around and wasting your channels, winning souls. Winning souls offline, coming up with soul winning programs. I pray for you. Let the anointing of a soul winner, let it rest upon you right now. Take that grace in the name of Jesus. Take that grace in the name of Bachaka Parakata. Receive that anointing in the name of Jesus. The grace of a soul winner. The grace of a soul winner. The grace of a soul winner. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, they that be wise, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, they will be as the stars even forevermore. God desires that all men be saved and that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. Number three, I want to pray particularly for an emergence. Thank God for the breed and the crop of men and women of God that we have across the fivefold. But I submit to you, there is still room for more. Thank God for the Joshua Selmans, Pastor Nathaniel Bassis. Thank God for the great men and women of God spearheading revivals, frontiering the program of God across the nations. But I want you to know that we alone cannot get the job done. There is need for a recruiting of more people. Right now I pray. Manta Selando Shabakata. Elakrata Geberekata. Everyone called into the fivefold. As an apostle. As a Apagata Badakata. As a prophet. As an evangelist. As a teacher. Shamaka Banaka Banakata. Parakata Bakatos. With a mandate to train. With a mandate to equip, with a mandate to refine, with a mandate to disciple, with a mandate to instruct, I decree and declare, the fire connected to your office, let it rest upon you now. 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 That see, the ears that hear, rest upon you now. The spirit of wisdom, rest upon you now. A sound understanding of the word of God, may that grace rest upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Now let me extend that prayer to marketplace apostles, businessmen, politicians, heads of government, policy makers. No, you are not spared. You are part of the army. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, ordinary people, the grace to rise to parliament, the grace to rise to spheres of influence, the grace to be captains, gatekeepers in businesses, I release it upon you now. For the sake of the kingdom, I release it upon you now. In the name of Jesus. Listen, I believe with all my heart that there are young people here who will be discussing with presidents because of the kind of value. Your value will be institutional. We're talking of sitting with presidents. In the name of Jesus, they will not consider your age. Your wisdom will be that of the ancient. Now, let me tell you this. Please look up. Please look up. I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. But I believe in pragmatic solutions that solve national problems. We need both. It's wonderful to fall under the anointing in church. Roll under the anointing, provided you can translate that anointing into wisdom and solutions. Don't fall down as a businessman and stand up and still go and you are failing. Doing small things, you're not rising. What then was the value of the impartation? Believers are called to be signs and wonders, but also called to be solution providers. Not everybody is sick needing healing. Not everybody is oppressed needing deliverance, but every man's need is their point of contact. When you become a solution provider, a career of grace, you will be relevant in the church and you will be relevant in the palace too. Let your relevance not stop in church. No. Gentiles shall come to your light and their kings to the brightness of your rising. Is that not in your Bible? That kings will entreat your favor because of the wisdom of God that is at work in you. Lay your hand on your head in 1 minute and say, Father, I receive wisdom. I receive wisdom to be a solution provider. Pray that prayer in 1 minute. I receive wisdom. Wisdom. The wisdom of the ancient to come up with pragmatic solutions. Wisdom by the Spirit. Wisdom. Wisdom. Mantles of power, mantles of wisdom, I see them resting in this place. Mantles of Deborah, mantles of Elijah, oh, I see them resting in this place. Mantles of wisdom, mantles of power, I see them resting in this place. Oh, 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 I see them resting in this place. Sing, oh. Hallelujah. Please put your hands down. Give me a few minutes to minister to your needs now. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all they that were oppressed of the devil. Let me show you a scripture in Romans chapter 15 and verse 19. That should be 15 and 19. Please read it as loud as you can. The most difficult word there is called Illyricum. So go ahead. 1, 2, go. I have fully preached. The gospel of Christ is not fully preached until there are attesting miracles and signs and wonders. The message and the backing. The message and the proof. Miracles are proof that Jesus is alive. Acts 4:33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Miracles are a testament of God's mercy and God's love. Miracles are an attestation to his lordship. And for the next few minutes, I want to pray. This may not concern everybody, but I was so blessed by the testimony of the dear lady yesterday who came with a lower back pain. Listen, I've seen this all my life, but it never stops to make me wonder and be in awe of Jesus as I see his power move through lives, bodies, homes, and situations. Number two, I believe in deliverance. Oh, yes, I do. A separation between men and spirits and men and conditions. You can be free of spirits, but you need to be free of conditions. When Jesus laid hands on the woman, he said, "Woman, thou art loose from your infirmity." The spirit left, but the condition remained. So he laid his hands upon her and straightened her. And he said, "Ought not this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, who had been bound 18 years. Listen, behind many tragic patterns, many conditions that have plagued you here and to those following online, I can tell you many of them are demonically engineered. It may have been products of your decisions, still influenced by demon spirits, or a direct demonic assault. There are families right now who are under attack. Some of you, your health under attack. Help that lady. The power of God is coming on her. Praise the name of the Lord. So I want to pray for you. We have a mandate. A man who is sick and broken and dying cannot do well in the marketplace. The house of God is where we encounter his power. When the glory of God comes, you see, I'll teach you something for 1 minute about the glory and then we begin to pray. So when we worship and we pray, as that glory rests, it brings with it two experiences. Number one, encounters. Number two, interventions. Don't forget, every time the glory of God is revealed, it produces two fruits, encounters and interventions. The assignment of encounters is to bring you into conformity to the image of Christ and grant you access to the resources of heaven, like wisdom, like favor, like power. They are called the riches of his glory. He says, "My God shall supply your needs according to his riches." These riches are the intangible things that can buy your value here on earth. Wisdom, skill, there are eight of them. They are called the riches of his glory. But then the other side brings intervention. Intervention are an act of his love, his mercy, and his power, where he solves your problems right now, because he knows that you are dust. He knows you have needs. Please learn this. Every time the glory of God shows up, you can focus on encounters and leave interventions. You will become more like him, but your problems will not be solved. You can focus on interventions and receive things, but never become like Christ. You can open up yourself when the glory comes to receive encounters that transform you and receive interventions. Are we together? The teaching of the word has brought you encounters. Now let's face the other part of the glory, interventions. He wants to step in over your home, over your life. Are you ready? With hands lifted to the heavens. Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried, for in this sanctuary the Bible says, upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. I want to pray right now. I want to rebuke the spirits that have plagued you. And I want to request, if it's possible, I'm going to ask that you bring those under the anointing now to the front, just gently so, and as much as you are able to. The ushers will do the work, but please do me a favor. When we're ministering like this, I would request that you be your brother's keeper. So whilst you're trying to receive, if someone is under the anointing close to you, please help guide and nurse them. And if you can, do bring them out when I make the call, so that I minister to them. There's a reason why we do that, so that we manage everything and we're able to receive without any casualties. Are you ready to pray? My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. Your deliverer is coming. Your deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. One more time. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. I want to pray. And then Pastor Nat is going to blast the trumpet as we shout the name Jesus. The Bible says, wherefore God hath so highly exalted him and has given him a name, an office that is above every other name. It says that at the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow of things in heaven. Cancer has a name, and that every tongue should confess. HIV is a name. Oppression is a name. And I want to pray for you right now. And as you shout the name Jesus, every oppression, every condition that's not of God, every tree that's not been planted by my Father gives way right now at the count of three. And with the blast of the trumpet, you will shout that name. And with the shout of that glorious name, Liverpool, UK, the King of Glory, in His Majesty, the Potentate, the Omnipotent, He will reveal Himself in a mighty way. Are you ready? At the count of three. One, two, three. Shout Jesus. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders has been thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horses and its riders has been thrown into the sea. Locked. An anointing is going to come upon you right now. All doors open now. Doors. Efata, be open. Be open. Be open. Be open. Doors of opportunity. Be open by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Ancient doors. Be open. Be broken. He has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Satan, get lost. Take your hands off the destinies of God's people. The name of the Lord. The Lord is showing me a vision. I And I'm seeing the hands of people tied in chains. Your hand represents your productivity. The Lord is showing me the hands of people tied. In the name of Jesus, I speak to those chains that have held your job. Aparanta tena kapata. Chains that have stopped you from going forward, from being productive. By the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I declare right now, chains be broken. Chains be broken. 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 Hallelujah. Now listen to me. The Lord is opening my eyes and the Lord is saying there are whole families that are under bondage, but the whole families are not here, but there are individuals representing those families. I want to release that grace of liberty. As it's touching you, it's touching your loved ones. I decree and declare family patterns, family chains, family altars be broken by the blood. By the blood, be broken by the blood. I release you. I release your children. I release your spouse. I release your wife, your husband, your siblings. In the name of Jesus. Chains break, chains break, chains break, chains break, chains break. In the name of Jesus, we set altars on fire by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Shababakata bakata bakata. Ah, barantos kabatata. Fire is in this place. 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 Time for Praise the name of the Lord. The Lord is showing me someone. Oh dear. We may not have the time for this now, but the Lord is showing me someone. You came here just like the other lady. You couldn't bend. There's severe pain just around this part. I want you to check yourself right now. Check yourself right now. I just want to pray for 1 minute for miracles, and then I'll minister to those who are in front. Check yourself right now. How many of you are trusting God for a miracle, a healing in your body? Place your hand right there. Place your hand. Faith is strong in this place. Now listen, please. Listen. Let me tell you what to do in an atmosphere like this. In an atmosphere, prophetic atmosphere like this. I'm going to pray for you. And as soon as I pray for you, I'd like you to shout a loud amen. And as you shout a loud amen, don't be afraid. Do what you couldn't do. And you check yourself. The moment you find out that a miracle has happened, I'd like you to rush and come stand by my left and by my right. We'll do that for 5 minutes. But let me pray for those who are in front here so that they clear the way. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says we've been called out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation, blotting out every handwriting and every ordinances that spoke against us. He nailed it to his cross. Therefore, Satan, I declare, every legal access you have over God's people, we declare that access broken now, broken now, broken now, broken now, broken now. We release your destinies. Let them go now. Let them go now. I release you. I release you by the blood to liberty. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. I release you right now. I release your family. I release your children in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Please return back to your seats rejoicing if you are able to. Free forever. Free forever. Free forever. Free forever. Delivered forever. Those who are able to, let them go. Those who are still under the anointing, you can leave them for a while until they are strong. Please lay your hands very quickly. Sickness is not of God. My brothers and my sisters, don't tolerate it. I may not know your condition except it's revealed to me. But I believe, right from when I came here, I sense a strong healing anointing. And I'm about to pray right now. Don't doubt. Let your eyes be on Jesus. As soon as I declare that healing, I may not mention your case. Check yourself and you can rush and come here. Be bold about it. And some of you are standing in for loved ones. Don't worry. Other matters like jobs and the rest, he's giving us the anointing. God is going to release it upon your life. But now let me pray for healing. Place your hand. And those who are falling from across the homes, please, you may place your hand right now. You heard the testimony of the lady. Let me pray very quickly. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, Liverpool, UK. In the name of Jesus. I declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead, the spirits of infirmity, devils of darkness, responsible for sicknesses, responsible for diseases, responsible for bodily discomfort, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I declare right now, let God's people go now. 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 I decree and declare over you, from the crown of your head down to the soles of your feet, be healed now. My God, I sense fire from my hands. The Son of Righteousness is rising with healing in its wings. In the name of Jesus, be healed now. Eyes, be healed now. Ears, open now. Bone conditions, be healed now. Joint pains, be healed now. Heart conditions, be healed now. Palpitations, be healed now. Sinuses, be healed now. Neurological problems, be healed now. Respiratory problems be healed now. We command cancer to die now. Cancer dies now. Sugar diabetes be healed now. Rheumatoid arthritis be healed now. Blind eyes open now. Crippled limbs be healed now. There's someone with a severe back pain. Just right here. I decree and declare, I want you to be healed by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, be healed now. Someone has unusual bloating of your stomach, some kind of maybe gastrointestinal problem. I decree and declare, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, be healed right now. There is a lady, I'm seeing you in a vision, you are at the back. You were not able to see me very clearly, except on the screen. Right now as I'm praying, the Lord is quickening your vision, and you'll be able to see me crystal clear, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, every infirmity, my God, I send such wave of healings just moving across this auditorium. Now, if you came here with an aid, whether you came on a wheelchair or you came with a crutch or you came with some kind of aid or on a stretcher and you are not able to move, as I make these declarations, I want you to try to begin to move your limbs. If you are able to, then you start walking by the grace of God in the name of Jesus. Now I decree and I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, every bodily ailment, every condition that is here represented by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, be healed in Jesus' name. Now everyone say after me, in the name of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus and by the blood of the eternal covenant, I decree, I declare, I am healed. I decree and declare, I am made whole right now. I am cleansed, I am made whole in the name of Jesus. Give him a shout of praise. Begin to check yourself. Begin to check yourself. Begin to check yourself. Very quickly, miracles are happening everywhere. You can move to my left or move to my right. Very quickly, do what you couldn't do. Check your ears. If you need to meet the medical people for confirmation, please check it very quickly. And you find out, hold on just a moment. I want you to check yourself. Do what you couldn't do very quickly. We're not going to take too much time. We'll start now and then we'll finish in the evening. My goodness, miracles are happening. Are you seeing people coming? Check yourself. What you couldn't do. You find out a miracle has happened. Usher's protocol, please direct them very quickly. Direct them very quickly. Let's celebrate Jesus as they are coming. Celebrate Jesus as they are coming. Celebrate Jesus as they are coming. Check yourself. You couldn't bend, please bend. Do what you could not do. You couldn't move your hands, move your hands. You couldn't move your feet, move your feet. You couldn't walk, begin to walk. You couldn't see, begin to see. You couldn't hear, begin to hear. Someone shout on their behalf, say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. Let's take a few testimonies. We'll just allow the doctors for a few minutes. My God, are you seeing people coming? Sound of revival, are we celebrating Jesus? Allahu Akbar is turning things around. Allahu Akbar is turning things around. Yeah. Allahu Akbar is turning things around. Oh my God. Celebrate for 1 minute. The Lord is perfecting your health. Allahu Akbar is turning things around. Allahu Akbar. Turning things around. Oh Lord, turning things around for my Hallelujah. We're going to take a few testimonies. But I sensed an anointing that I sensed right here in UK last year. The anointing
for supernatural emails, jobs. I want to pray it right now. Listen, look at me. It's a sign and a wonder, and God does it that men will fear him. I have no hand in what happens. How do you make declarations and people begin to receive emails of jobs? A job is not an alert. The people sending it are not fools. These are verifiable organizations. I sense that anointing. Can I release that grace upon you? He gave gifts to men. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts to men. God does these things that men may fear him. I want to pray right now, supernaturally by the Spirit of God. I don't know how God does it. I still cannot explain it. But I want to pray. Hanging emails, papers, whatever it is. I'm going to make declarations and then we'll take the testimonies. In the name that is above all names, Lord, you have granted gifts and grace to the sons of men to bring you great glory. Lord, I stretch my hands over your people. Some trusting God for jobs. Some trusting God for the arrivals of emails. Congratulations. Right now in the name of Jesus. The same power that was released in Glasgow that brought wonder-working testimonies in the name of Jesus and by the ministry of angels, I declare right now, may that grace be released upon you. I declare congratulations. Congratulations. Supernatural jobs. Supernatural emails. Online and offline. We declare this as a sign and a wonder. By the grace called favor. By the grace called favor. Let salvation come. Let time be compressed. In the name of Jesus Christ. And declare, may God give witness to his words. Emails will hit your mails. They will say congratulations. The papers will be released. In the name of Jesus, every delay as touching your career, every delay as touching your migration issues, every delay as touching your housing, every pending issue, we give speed and manifestation to it. Hallelujah. Whenever you receive any of such miracles, you can reach some of the officials and they will give you room to testify. You will marvel and wonder at the supernatural power of God. But please be seated for a few minutes and let's take a few testimonies very quickly. Now, let me tell you this. Please lend me your attention. You know, when things happen like this and the power of God is moving, chances are excellent that the attention of the entire globe will be on a man or a people. Let me tell you unashamedly, this man standing before you, this person standing before you have no power in themselves to cause any changes. All that we have is out of the abundance of that which His Majesty has given. So whilst you look at us, do not idolize us for what we are doing. Let the glory be to Jesus for every miracle. We are only vessels that have been used by God. Hallelujah. And so I say that beforehand. For the wonders and the miracles, look the number of people lining up and they are still coming. This is the glory of the King. A man can receive nothing except it is given unto him by Jesus Christ. And I know that there are all kinds of spectacular breakthrough miracles that are about to come right now. And those of you who are connected across the globe, there would be lines that would be pinned to your pages. And you're receiving miracles, any and all kinds of miracles, not just healing miracles. Let us know. Send in your miracle reports and we'll hopefully read a few of them. Let's take this very quickly so that we can buy. I can only imagine how tonight will be. My goodness and my God. Very quickly.
Apostle, we have a few people here who came in with severe back pain.
Back pain.
Yes, sir. Three of them. And while you were ministering, they all described the same thing. They felt a warm sensation all the way through their back. And now they can do everything they couldn't do before.
Do what you couldn't
do. Bend,
check the pain. Any pain at all. Any pain. Let's give Jesus praise. This is the hand of God. In the name of Jesus, he will never return to you again. By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Apostle, You need to hear this. This dear lady, 4 years ago, gave birth to a baby and afterwards began to have back pain.
And after you gave birth to your baby?
Yes, sir.
The pain is just like leftover of labor pain. In fact, I got to work. I was at work last week. It's a new job. And by around 3 o'clock, the pain started. My back just hooked. I had to stay all through the week, like throughout the work. I had to stand. If I want to bend, I would just take style and bend.
And now?
And immediately you were talking about back pain. I felt
run,
it.
Move, do what you couldn't do.
Jesus, yeah. You have done
look
it again. Jesus, yeah.
The hand of God.
In your
never return
sin
in the name of Jesus.
What was impossible? You made possible.
She can't believe it. She's still under the power.
She's still under the power.
Yes, sir.
Yes, please.
This young man, 6 months ago, developed serious pain by side.
Yes.
And it's been difficult for him to do a number of things. He's been believing God for the healing. He has a testimony.
Immediately the man of God said, you have a pain here. Do what you cannot do. I can do this now.
Look at this.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, please.
Apostle, can't wait to this walk and legs.
What happened?
A fractured knee is going.
I fractured my foot. I fractured my fifth metatarsus playing netball. And I came in with so much pain. But there's no pain.
Lift it up and walk. No. Are you sure? Is that under medical advice? Else you can walk. I mean,
the doctors have taken a look at it.
Look at this. Right before your eyes.
Jesus, yeah. You have done it again. Jesus, yeah. In your strength, what was impossible, Papa, you made possible.
My sister, look at me. Just a moment. Lift your crutch and the aid, the walking aid. Lift it up. Let the devil see it. Now you walk, walk, walk. Look at this. I decree and declare, I use her situation as a point of contact. You may not be fractured physically, but everything that is a disjoint in your life, let bone be joined to bone.
Amen.
Finances be joined to finances.
Amen.
Destiny be connected to destiny. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus praise for her testimony. Yes, please.
Apostle, for as long as this young man has known himself, it's been deaf in the left ear.
Deaf in the left ear?
The left ear. But yesterday when you gave that word, he heard a sound. It's like, who's the sound? And from then, he's
have you
here.
Tested him?
We've tested him. He can hear very clearly.
Him.
Yes.
Which of the ears?
The left ear. This one.
For as long as you remember.
As long as I'm
and right now.
And right now I can hear.
Come on now. Ladies and gentlemen, look at this.
There's another woman here. For
yes.
5 years. The left ear, more than 5 years, she has not been able to hear from the left ear. But when you gave the word, her left ear popped open. Now she can hear clearly.
Medically verified, the
medically
doctors
verified.
Are verified.
Yes, sir.
Are you celebrating Jesus?
What manner of man is Jesus? What manner of man is Jesus? He makes the dead to heal. What manner of man is Jesus? Hallelujah.
Yes, please.
This our brother has been a non-diabetic since 2019.
He's been diabetic?
Yes, since 2019, and it has affected his eyes, and he couldn't read properly.
Yes.
But now, the Bible he was given has tiny letters.
Yes.
And he can clearly read.
Read something. Read something there. Hold on just a moment. Let's hear him read. Read anything at all.
Psalm 42, from verse 1. Job 42 from verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said,
oh, come on. You stop there. Give Jesus praise. Give Jesus praise.
The Lord has done it.
Finally.
The Lord has done it.
perfection over your sight. You'll never return, and healing from diabetes.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Apostle.
Yes, please.
He has also had eye issues for a long time, and his eyes were paining him.
Yes.
Serious pain. He said in 2 weeks it got worse. But immediately you mentioned his case.
The pain's gone.
The pain's disappeared.
Let's celebrate Jesus.
Also, you mentioned bloating for him and this sister. That the bloating got worse for him yesterday. That he was fully bloated.
Yes.
But two of them instantly became healed.
Completely healed.
Completely
healed. We celebrate Jesus. Yes, please.
Apostle, we have this lady here. She's been having palpitations, heart palpitations for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And she came in yesterday and you mentioned the case, heart palpitations. She has taken various medications, but nothing has helped. She did an EKG. It showed nothing. And so she's just been waiting to hear from her doctors. But yesterday, after you mentioned her case, the palpitations stopped. And she has not had any feeling of palpitations up until now.
Lay your hand on your chest, my dear. In the name of Jesus, I declare perfection. Palpitations go forever. In Jesus' matchless name. Someone lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Like you're a believer in Christ, say, thank you, Jesus. Let's see if we're able to take the number of them. So here's what we'll do. Let's just have maybe two or three each, and then we'll just keep the rest for evening so I can do the altar call, and then we'll go and resort for tonight.
We need
to blow the roof over this place this night. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, go ahead.
Apostle. She had had lower back pain due to a condition called endometriosis. I think a doctor here will give more explanation on that.
Good afternoon, Apostle. So I saw her on the queue. She said she's had daily low back pain as a result of endometriosis. She's on the wait list via the NHS, but every day she's taking medication. She can't walk, she can't drive, she can't sit, she can't even stretch. But when you prayed, she felt that pain just disappear. Matter of fact, she came in with the pain. She almost didn't come to service because of the pain, but she came and she's healed. She can stretch, she's here.
Look at that. Look at that.
And we believe that the endometriosis will resolve with the heavy periods and all of that.
In the name of Jesus Christ, Amen. We declare perfection. Amen. Perfection by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, please.
Apostle, this dear lady traveled, and while her plane was landing, she suddenly discovered that she couldn't hear again from her left ear 2 months ago.
While her plane
was landing.
Okay.
The sound of as the plane was landing, she couldn't hear again from the left ear for 2 months. But as you gave the word, that ear popped up, and now she can hear clearly.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare perfection for your ears.
Amen.
By the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yes, please. Okay, let's have...
Apostle, we have this lady here. She fell. She was trying to support her friend under the anointing, and she sprained her finger and was unable to move it. It was so painful, but by the time she walked back to her seat while you were making the declarations, the back pain that she came for disappeared, and her finger, she was now able to move it back into her joint.
In the name of Jesus, we declare perfection over you. The devil is a liar. Perfection over you. Yes, please.
Apostle, allow our medical people to explain this one.
Okay, go ahead.
Apostle, sir, this wonderful woman had knee ligament injury. Such severe pain that, in fact, when she came, the medical team had to give her ice for her knees. But as the word was going on, administration was going on, her knees are now completely healed. Glory be to God.
Her knees. How long has this been?
3 years, sir.
Can you do what you couldn't do? Anything at all? In the name of Jesus Christ, I stretch my hands and I declare perfection over you. In the matchless name of Jesus.
Apostle,
okay.
We'll just group them. Herself, since last year, she's had heart palpitations, mm-hmm. chest pain. And it's been difficult for her to do some things. But as you gave the word, the chest pain is gone. She also had a back pain. The back pain is gone as well. The heart palpitation has stopped completely. She can breathe properly now. And then everyone here, they've had knee pains. The knee pains are gone completely.
Okay.
Everyone here, back pains have disappeared completely.
Praise
all
God.
Medically confirmed.
Okay, here's what will happen. We're going to just pray. I want to promise you, for as many of you who want to testify, please, those responsible for testimonies, among them, we'll give them priority in the evening. For those of you who want to testify,
and we'll make sure we announce. We'll give a little room for testimony so medical people take note so that when they come, but stretch your hands to all of them, would you, please, wherever, just stretch your hands to all of them and just make this declaration. Let's seal it by faith. Testimonies are important, and they have come, many of them not able to announce it now because of our time. But in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for their testimonies, and Lord, we give you praise. Let the nations know that you are still in the business of miracles. We thank you for giving witness to your word. We honor you. Thank you for the many miracles. I'm sure there are so many across the globe. And for those of you who have received miracle emails and all of that, we'll leave that for the evening in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, lend me your attention, everyone. I want to give you an opportunity to make it right with Jesus. Two announcements before I make the altar call. Tonight is going to be a prophetic night. And everyone, I'm speaking to the globe and then to us who are here, please come with your prayer request and any point of contact. And then I'll give you the permission, if you have, say, the photo of anything, points of contact, documents, or whatever it is that you want to stand in faith with for yourself or for someone, a loved one, you're at liberty, whether electronically or physically, you can bring it, and then we'll have some time of prayer and intercession. We're going to be speaking over the soul of this city and your nation and across Europe and then, of course, the globe. And we'll take some time to raise some prophetic praise and worship. Pastor William McDowell is still with us. He'll be ministering this evening, Pastor Nathaniel Bassi. And we're just going to be praying. And tonight is a night of breakthrough. I want to rain down prophecies upon your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be showing you one last piece from our series, and then we'll have the time to pray. And as always, please come with the various flags that represent your nation. Pick it up from home. You can pick as many. And for those who are connected across the globe, there'll be a link for you to send in your prayer requests. We believe in the God that answers prayer. And then, more importantly, we're starting very early. We want to start 5 on the dot. So some of you who stay from afar, I'm sure that you have the liberty to hang around so that you are able to get in as fast as possible. We'll work with a check-in team to make sure that everyone is checked in on time. And to those of us who are following across the globe, the evening will be our final session, and make sure that you make yourself available. Now, let me say this. I thought I'd say it in the evening, but I'll just say that very quickly. By the grace of God, on Sunday evening, right from here, Liverpool, will be holding the first Koinonia service, I think, in Liverpool. So, hallelujah. So you are invited. You are invited. We already have, I'm not sure, there's more room for registrations, but you're at liberty. Those of you who are here now, you can come invite your loved ones. It's going to be Sunday, 5 p.m. We're going to be hosting Koinonia as always in UK, but this time around in Liverpool, right from here across the ends of the earth. Liverpool, are you happy to be hosting Koinonia here? So make it a point of contact for those of you who are able to. Let's just celebrate the grace of God. It's going to be a powerful time of worship and prayer. So for now, let me do the altar call. Pastor Nat sang a song and he said, someone's knocking at your door. And that scripture comes from Revelation chapter 3. He said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, inviting me, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. I have learned about the brevity of life. You know, ministry works in a way like medicine. I have seen children born. I've seen celebrations, but I've also seen grievings. I've seen cries that have come from departures of loved ones. If all you have in this life is just your education and money and intellect, and you do not have Jesus, you do not have much. Because when life is said and done, it is your relationship with Jesus that determines your eternal destiny. For someone here, for your sake, the Lord brought us, traveled all the way from Africa, and we came honoring this convergence. God wants to give you an opportunity. Jesus is beyond the founder of a religion. is beyond the founder of a faith called Christianity. He's the God of all heavens, the God of the universe. He seeks a relationship with you. You may have received from him, but you need a relationship with him. And I want you to give me the honor and the privilege of not only introducing this Jesus to you, who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who died for you as an expression of the Father's love. He's brought you salvation. With that, he's brought you life. He's brought you an opportunity to live a life of dominion and victory, having your eternal destiny secured beyond this life. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. I want to make two calls in one. Number one, for those who are making a first-time decision, you're saying, Apostle, I've heard you, I've seen the wonders of God's power, I've enjoyed the moments of worship and prayer and the word, I need to make it right with Jesus. The second group of people is a call for rededication. You're saying, Apostle, as it stands, I know that I need to make things right with Jesus. Either ways, you are welcome. I'm going to count 1 to 5. May I request very boldly, as though being called to receive an award, would you leave your seat as I begin to count? I see you coming from the farthest of the aisles. Please make your way. Let's honor them as they come. Yes, sir. One, God bless you. God bless you. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop clapping.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Don't stop clapping. God bless you.
Someone's knocking at the door.
Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Two. This is the sound of revival. Come to Jesus. Let's keep clapping. Let's encourage them as they come. Encourage them as they come.
He's been knocking very long.
Three.
Can you hear him knocking?
I see you coming, my dear brother. I see you coming.
Jesus
keep
is
coming.
Knocking now.
It's a bit of a distance, but keep walking. Keep walking.
Jesus,
keep coming.
Jesus, Jesus.
It's at the door.
Da, 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 da.
Four.
Da, 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 da.
That call. Come
call
to Jesus.
Jesus.
God bless you.
Jesus.
God bless you.
Jesus is at the door.
My God, look at the harvest. I see them coming. There are many people coming. Let's celebrate Jesus for this harvest.
Someone's calling.
Celebrate Jesus for this harvest. All tribes, all tongues, all nations,
calling
all people groups.
Time and
God
time
bless you.
Again. Can you hear him calling you? Yeshua is calling you. He's been calling for so long.
God bless you. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister.
He's been
to those of you who are connected online, who are ready to pray this prayer, and when we start, I'd like you to join us. It's a prayer of salvation.
Yeshua is calling you. Oh, Jesus, 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 is at the door.
Please lend me your attention for one moment. Someday, very soon, we will stand before Jesus, and I'm glad and honored that I'll be seeing your faces. I will see you. Perhaps you will walk up to me first and give me a big hug and say, Apostle, I remember you. And I say, I remember you too. Sound of revival. Thank you for coming. I want to salute and celebrate every one of you. It takes a lot of courage to respond to this call, albeit it's by the Spirit. And I want to thank you, my dear brothers and sisters, for responding to this call. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. For those of you who are connected online across the nations of the earth, I want to lead these ones. This is Sound of Revival, and we're praying the salvation prayer right now. Wherever you are connected from, as we lift up our voices to pray, I'd like you to join us. Make this declaration of faith, and Jesus becomes Lord of your life at that instant. So let me request for those of you who are in front,
Would you lift your right hand, let it be high above your head as a sign of surrender. And then say this as loud and as clear as you are able to say, Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that from today, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. With your hands still lifted, I pray for you. Father, thank you. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Thank you because your word declares that as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These precious ones have come. Help that lady. She's under the anointing. Responding to the call. And I declare by the power that raised Christ from the dead that your sins are forgiven. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious Christian life is imparted upon you. And I declare that from tonight you begin a journey that ends you in dominion, a journey that ends you in victory. I decree and declare that you go forward ever and backward never. It's in Jesus' matchless and victorious name we pray. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Now here's what I want you to do for me. You would notice that a card has been given to you. Almost everyone should have received a card. You'll be requested to fill that card. Please do well. Fill it as truthful as you can and as legibly as you're able to. Second, there's a gift pack. The officials are lifting up. The gift pack contains little gifts from God, really, Jesus, through us to you. It's a show of love and to help you jumpstart your faith walk. Number three, I'd want to request, even though there are a number of you, please do cooperate with the counselors. We have counselors who are trained to respond to you and pray with you. You have any prayer need, you can communicate same to them and they'll be glad to pray for and with you. So you move to my left, that will be your right from where you're standing in concert this way, and the counselors will receive you. Let's honor them as they go. Let's honor them as they go. For those of you who made this decision online, there's a QR code that's projected. You can scan and let us know that you made Jesus Lord of your life. And there are officials who will reach you and you'll be guided on what steps to take after now. Can we give Jesus a resounding round of applause for this, the mighty things that he's done today? Ladies and gentlemen, this is what it's all about. It's about his glory. It's about his power. We're about to wrap up for this morning or afternoon now. Our time is fast spent, but we'll still honor our 10 minutes of prophetic praise. We'll do that as fast as possible. And we don't do this for show. We're people of revelation. And so once we're done, please don't be in a hurry. I know that some of you may want to grab a meal or whatever it is. Let me give you one last counsel. Please be in prayer as you come in for tonight's session. Invite every other person, even though the space is filled up, but at least they can connect online. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're going to have a glorious time of prayer. The prophetic will be praying over your needs, speaking breakthrough over your life, speaking to the soul of the city. And this brings to end Sound of Revival 2026 in UK. But we give Jesus praise for all that he's done. Please, would you be upstanding? Thank you so much again for all who took the time, particularly our guests who made it this morning. It's a sign and a wonder to have us converge, even though it's a morning session. I'm grateful to you. Thank you so much for all that you've done. I speak the blessing over your life. Shout a believing amen. And I decree and declare that for many of you, even before evening, a few hours from now, you will return with testimonies in the name of Jesus. Some of you on your way going, whether it's to the mall, whether it's to a restaurant, an eatery, you would encounter all kinds and all sorts of breakthroughs. May my God go before you. May my God go ahead of you. In Jesus' name we pray. We're going to shout
We'll shout glory. Let's do the word glory. We'll shout it three times. And as soon as we're done the third time, Pastor Nat will take over from here. And then we'll disperse and prepare for the night. Ready? Glory. One. Two. The third and the final shout. God bless you. See you in the evening.
What are my praises? I'm gonna dance and pray. It doesn't matter what comes my way. The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus. I'm gonna win. More than victorious. I'm an heir of this kingdom. One more time, one more time. One more time. Say, I'm gonna dance and pray. The greater one lives inside of me. Hey, I'm gonna win. More than I'm an heir.
sound of the trumpet. You shall shout. people.